Hello, hello everyone. This is like my first podcast. The main motive of this podcast is actually to express myself, to express my feelings, to get a talk, talk, the things that I feel that are hard for me to explain to people out there. So, I think I'll title this podcast "When Your Son Is 7 Years." I think it will be a series. Yeah, "When Your Son Is 7 Years, a Boy." So yeah, I'm a single mom. I have a son, 7. So I'm going to basically talk about what happened yesterday, and how I'm processing the whole thing, how I'm actually feeling, what is going through my head, and all that. I think that's what I want to talk about today. Yeah, okay, so what really happened yesterday? Okay, I go to pick up my son from school, and then on getting there, his friend just said, Kenan's mom, Kenan misbehaved today. Oh, I was like, okay. And then I got to the classroom itself, and the teacher was telling me that my son refused to write, that she tried all her best to get my son to write, and my son refused to write. And for the whole period, like throughout the whole day, and the first instinct is anger. I was filled with rage. I had anger all over me. I didn't know how to process that. I was like, is there any reason? He said no. Was he sick? They said no. Was he feeling down? He said no. But he was playing and active. Why then did he refuse to write? You're so funny, because I was like, okay, there must probably be a reason. Why then did he refuse to write? Because I know I had a lot of pep talk with him before the term started. His writing has been slow, and I encouraged him to write a bit faster so that he doesn't end up being the last person to finish up notes and all that. I talked to him about the term and how we want to push through, and how important the second term is in the whole study and all that. So why am I getting this on the day 2 on the day 2 of school? This is Tuesday. School started on Monday, and this is Tuesday. I'm sure there's not a whole lot of writing to do that. I was like, okay, he got overwhelmed, or he saw it and then he's like, oh, how can I finish this today? Let me not even write at all. So I'm sure there's probably tiny work here and there. So why didn't my son write? So in my head, I was processing all that. And then he was happily packing his bag. In my head, I said, what is making this boy happy now? They are reporting you, and you are still happy that mommy came to pick it from school. Okay. Because there's this rule in the school. I asked the teacher, where your students misbehaved, why didn't you spank? He said, we don't spank. It reminded me of my own school when I was growing up. I had a whole lot of Ghanaian teachers when growing up. They would have beaten me black and blue. The one that they will beat you. By the time you go back, you cannot even tell your parents that this is why they beat you. There'll be mark on your body, and you'll be telling them, why did they beat you? We cannot talk. You cannot open your mouth and tell your teacher, this is why they beat me. Because if you tell them, if you tell your parents that this is why your teacher beat you, you will carry another set of mark to school. Then your teacher will be like, I did not inflict this mark. So why did your parents beat you? Because imagine paying school fees on Monday, and on Tuesday you go home to tell your parents that I did all right in school. With the outrageous school fees that we pay these days, I was mad. So the whole school systems Yeah, I like the way the whole soft thing is, but it's been watered down a whole lot. But it's okay. In my mind, I said, since the school cannot beat you, me, I will do the beating myself. So me, I'm like, I'll do the beating myself. Yeah, nobody's going to arrest me for beating my child in Nigeria. Is it possible? I will do the beating myself because I really don't understand. So he comes to me and hugs me. I'm like, Kenne, why didn't you write in school? He was looking. You have 5 minutes before I I'll pour the anger on you. And the teacher then said something. I told him I was going to report him to his mother, but he continued. Ah, that one pain me pass. I followed him. I said, yeah, let's go to the car. As we were going down, I couldn't. I was just looking at him. I remember the school fees that was paid on Monday. The thing can't pay me more. I was literally burning. I held his ear a little bit too tight. And I said, yeah, talk. The boy started crying. I said, I've not even done anything. I started crying. You knew from deep down in your heart that what you did was wrong. And you continued. So I actually begged the teacher initially to please give me those notes that he didn't write today in school. So it doesn't affect the next day's study. Just give it to me. He's going to write it at home. So she packed 5 notes for me. And then when we got to the car, I was shouting because I was super duper angry and I didn't know how to express the whole thing. I was angry, I was shouting, a whole lot was going through my mind. I was pouring it out on him. And then I spanked him and he started crying. He cried all the way home. I really wanted to eat amala, so I just went straight to go and buy amala because, of course, that's the only thing that's going to reduce the anger that I had inside. So I bought amala and bought for him as well. We finished eating. Is it not a person the way they eat, they cry? Let us finish eating. Then I will now continue the crying at home. At least I will not. It's not the one that will beat you, and then you now refuse to eat my food. I don't know what I was thinking. But we shall eat a lot of ham. I ate 4 wraps. He ate 2 wraps. Then we go home, and I'm like, okay, shower, dress up, come to the bala, meet me. He did that, and then I'm like, okay, boy, start writing. He was writing as fast as his hands can carry him. He was writing pia 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 pia. After he was done, I think it took us about 1 hour 30 minutes, plus let's say 30 minutes he used in freshening up. Let's call it. It was about getting a bit dark. I said, oh yeah, stand. When he was done, I said, stand, start talking. He didn't know what to say. Why didn't you write? No reason. What happened in the class? Nothing. What was going through your mind when you refused, you disobeyed your teacher? Nothing. What did you think was going to be the repercussions of not writing? He knew I was going to be angry. And you did it. He was so sorry. I said, no, your actions have consequences. You're not going to go to the swimming pool tomorrow in school, and I'm going to spank you. So I'm going to teach you that your actions have consequences. So instead of the water splash on Wednesday, you're not going to go there. You'll watch others swim while you go to the class and complete your notes. And then I'm going to spank you. Yeah, done. Give me your bonbon. Which he did. I gave him the first one. Pakam like this. He was crying. Mommy, I'm sorry, I will not do it again. Mommy, I'm sorry, I will not do it again. The second one, I think it was the third spank I stopped. And then I told him to go and pray and sleep. Day, and I remembered I bought suya for him. Yeah, he loves suya. So when I went to get water bottles, I saw that the suya man was available. I bought it for my son happily. But because of the whole thing that happened in the day, I forgot. I quickly microwaved the suya and I'm like, oh yeah, I woke the guy I just beat. The guy I just gave some strokes of the cane. I woke him up. I said, Jacob, I joined the suya. He was so happy. He said, mommy, thank you. He started eating it. And when he was done eating it, he drank water and slept. This morning, he woke up, you know, feeling a little bit, you know. He still apologized again this morning. Because of that early morning apology, I said, okay, you can swim with your friends today. But let me not hear any other bad reports coming from you. And then, yeah, my friend, Okobuchi, called him and also talked to him. And that was it. I feel I have resolved that issue. I don't know if my actions were the right thing to have done. You know, I did all in good intent. Yeah, I did all in good intent because no one would actually love for their kids to misbehave. You know, he's at that stage where I feel he's basically trying out a whole lot of new things to see the ones that, you know, he can play smart about, the ones he can be, you know. So he's at that stage and I'll be closely watching him because I'm not going to make a mistake in upbringing and parenting. And then that is it. So if you have any thoughts on this podcast, anything I've said that you don't like, or any advice you have for mothers who might be in the same predicament that I was yesterday, or you have another way you handled yours, probably your child at that age, you know, how you handled certain of their tantrums and all that, please share. You know, comment on this, send me your observations. That is actually the reason why I'm doing this. For you all to help me in parenting and for me to help you in parenting. Because, you know, there is this in parenting does. There is no guideline. There's no rule book. There is no, you know, even the ones that go to school to learn these things, at the heat of the moment, you tend to forget certain things. And we always want something that is easy, that is workable. Of course, you know, going through all that yesterday was really tiring. At the end of the day, I couldn't even do anything at the day. I couldn't even do work. I couldn't do certain things. I just crawled into bed and slept because I was emotionally tired. I was mentally tired just because of that episode I had with him. So, of course, I'm sure parents really want things that is going to, like, ease this thing. If you have something that had worked that you want to share with us so that we'll use it to handle ours, please do. You know, it's let all of us come together as a community and help each other out. Thank you. I really did not have any brief or any write-up or anything. I just spoke my mind today, and I think that's what I'm going to be doing for a couple of times. There'll be a lot of, you know, mistakes here and there, but that is it. That's okay. You know, as long as I'm talking and you guys are listening, that's a good part. Thank you for listening to my first Kenneth's Mom's podcast. Yeah, a mommy's podcast. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. If you want more of this, please like, subscribe, and share. Yeah, share. Because the more we share, the more we get people to listening, the more we get more comments, the more we get more suggestions, the more we get more practice, you know, proven results, proven, you know. So that is it. Thank you. I really appreciate doing this. Thank you all. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. We are still in the series When Your Son is 7. That's when your child is 7. This is episode 2. And today we're going to be talking about having daily routines. Having daily routines. Being intentional and growing a healthy parent-child relationship. We need to
you know, have effective communication. And this is what having daily routines can help us solve. You know, when a child is the age bracket 5 to 7, that's when they build certain habits, that's when they get to build certain characters. You know, that's when they just try to understand the whole meaning of life itself. So this is the period we need to imbibe good habits that could help them in the long run, that would also help them in the long run. So having daily routines is, I think for me, it's number one. Even in the communication between you and your children, it helps a whole lot. So we're going to be talking about having daily routines. So I'm going to say a very short story. And I think this happened when he was 5 years. I personally started up with waking up by 7, sleeping by, waking up by 5, sleeping by 7 thing. I started it because it was convenient for me. But as time went by, I noticed that it had become part of him. So I was very sick that day and I didn't wake up on time. And by the time I woke up by 6, my son was already up. He had already gone to the toilet and then he was now brushing his teeth. He has taken the early morning dump and he was now brushing his teeth. So even when I woke up late, we were able to still meet up to, you know, we didn't have to hurry. He was able to still meet up with the school bus. So that actually taught me a whole lot about routines and how it could shape a child. When a child knows what to do, when to do it, it saves you the stress of a whole lot, shouting, you know, begging them, this is not time to watch television, or this is not this, or this is not that. It saves a whole lot of things. The child will now know what to do and when to do them. It also gives them this confidence, this sense of belonging that, oh, I matter, you know. I know what to do, you know. My mom is giving me chores. I'm responsible, you know, for certain things. So it builds a healthy relationship between you and your child. So I'm going to talk about, this is very, very good for, you know, children within the age 5 to 10. You know, that's the period they are establishing critical habits like getting ready for school, completing their homework, going to bed, and all these have lasting impacts for a healthy future. So I'm going to give you an example of how to plan a child's activities for the week. I personally would say it's just like a timetable. When we were growing up, we had we all had food timetable in the house. I don't know you. I had a food timetable in the house, and it also helped me know what and what I should eat. So when I know what I'm expecting, I hated Wednesdays. I hated Wednesdays because it was beans. So it helped me know what to expect. So we're going to be drawing out a timetable for your kids. Help them to know what to do and when to do them, what to expect for the day. So for the weekdays are quite different from the weekends. So the weekdays are quite different from the weekends. You tend to plan it. I personally put bedtime 7 and wake up time 5:30. Then, you know, activities like, you know, reading, studying, doing your homework, learning how to type, you know, all that between 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You space all the subjects throughout the week. You space them out within that time. Then, depending on when they come back from school, to 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., they have their dinner or lunch, and they also shower, take care of themselves within that time. The weekends, I basically do nap time 3 p.m. activities, hands-on activities, maybe playing, screen time, riding bicycles in the evenings because the sun is down. So from 4 p.m. to 5, 6 p.m. or that. Then I basically do mornings for, early mornings for studying those key subjects that they are struggling with. We tend to, you know, have hands, we tend to have learning period for that early in the morning. Then you give them activities around the house, chores around the house to do, things to keep them busy, you know. So this is basically how I draw my own timetable. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just giving you an example of how we can space out things for them to do throughout the week and get them doing things. By the end of the week, they've been able to not only study, but do the favorite things that they are supposed to do. And then you then have strict. So for everyone they don't do, there is consequences. So those favorite ones in the timetable are being removed and replaced with the one that they missed. Therefore, they know that, oh, my actions have consequences. So this is me just telling you one of my secrets for a very